Welcome to Ask the Educator, a podcast brought to you by Healthmark Industries. Are you a sterile processing technician or manager? Maybe you work in infection prevention or biomedical engineering. Whether you're a frontline tech, endoscopy tech, OR nurse, or surgical services administrator, you undoubtedly have influence in medical device processing at your facility. In each episode, we speak with experts from the Healthmark Clinical Affairs team, industry leaders, or special guests from the trenches to answer your questions and bring you relevant industry information, equipping you for excellence in medical device processing. My name is Kevin Anderson, and I will be your host. Now let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Ask the Educator. This is Kevin Anderson, your host, and we are picking up with our survey readiness series. We're going to be talking about a great topic today that I'm really excited about. It's called case card auditing. And with me to talk about this subject is Stephen Kovac. Stephen, thanks again for joining me on this. I know this is something you're really interested in talking about as well.
Yes, I am, Kevin. But, you know, I want to start this off. I was watching TV a couple days ago, and I tell you, the people who marketing are just unbelievable. I don't know if you've seen it. I won't mention the company's name, but, you know, there is this dishwashing detergent that works great on animals that have been in oil spills. But, you know, the latest thing in household cleaning now is foam spray. I don't know if you've seen it, but have you seen the commercials yet?
No.
And now you can buy this stuff and it's pre-treating and it cuts the grease and the bubbles work. And you can buy this hand pump. You can either buy it with them in the bottle and now on Amazon and all, or oops, I said a name, on these online things, you can buy a hand pump where you put the dishwashing detergent in and so much water and you pump it and then you spray it on your stuff. And I'm going, man, we're not going to have any problem of working with people in the OR anymore because they're going to be pre-soaking their items before they wash it once they're done cooking in that. I mean, what better way to set us up for more success, right, Kevin?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's funny that you saw that in a commercial of all things. But yeah, that reminds me of the stuff that they've cooked up at past Isham Expos and all of that. Yeah. I've seen some great spraying devices for pre-treating. And yeah, you're right. I mean, you would think that they'd have all the tools they need now to really set up the SPD department for success there.
Yeah, but I saw that my wife, I started laughing. She says, what's so funny? I says, they're pre-treating their surgical instrument. I mean, they're cookingware. I mean, they can't tell me they don't know about the topic anymore.
And that's right.
You know, so I'm expecting that one company to say, hey, maybe we should come into the OR. But, you know, return items to sterile processing or MDRD or CSSD or whatever we call ourselves is very important. And I don't think our listeners understand one of the reasons I think you're very good at what you're doing in this interview process is you've worked in the areas. You are an OR nurse. You've worked in orthopedics. You've sent us the stuff that hasn't pre-treated. Never mind, I won't have you answer that. And then you ran the department that got the stuff that you scrubbed on 2 hours ago, and then it was sent down, and it wasn't there. But the items returned to our departments a lot are dirty. They're not wiped down. They're not pre-cleaned. They're not kept moist. They're in the open position. There's sharps left. They're not sent complete, they're sloppy, none's being done or some's being done, you know, and this is a big issue. And we do know Joint Commission surveyors are walking into the rooms and looking at surgery, or they're going into rooms near the end of the case to get it done. And point of use cleaning is an issue, isn't it, Kevin? And you worked in the room. And we know that if the OR elects not to do good pre-treatment cleaning for whatever reason, it is an issue in sterile processing in some way, or they might have to clean it longer or do something. But we do know there's those exceptional cases of a trauma case and they have to do things. But the exception in the rule, we really want it as an exception. And we want the rule to be pre-cleaning being done correctly. Correct, Kevin?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad that you used the term elect, whether or not the OR elects to properly treat and transport their instruments, because I do believe it is a choice. I also believe that part of it is an educational thing. I can just tell you in full disclosure, I loved orthopedics. I loved scrubbing it. And when I was first trained, I did not have background in surgical technology school. I was trained on the job as a nurse. Mm. And so I was just learning from the people that went before me. And the first cases I did were total joints. And the person didn't really prioritize that. They were helping me prioritize learning the procedure, learning the instruments and all of that. And we were in a very fast paced room, and pre-treating the instruments wasn't on the priority list. And then, you know, eventually I got a lot better at that role and I was able to start doing a better job of all of that stuff. So number one is, I think it's an education component that can slip through the cracks, especially for people who haven't gone through the formalized surgical tech programs, or maybe they don't have familiarity with the ANSI AIMI standards. Because remember, ARN guidelines and standards, those are things that we have to go and actively seek out and learn about. So they're not necessarily something that you just learn in the operating room. Like, right. You have to take some time and have those points drilled into you by the organization. So yeah, I was definitely one of those people who sent them down improperly. And as a manager of SPD, I ended up learning a lot about how to try and correct those problems too. So it was a very unique situation, I guess, but it's definitely a choice. There's definitely ways to really, really make an impact and make this better. And to your point as well about surveyors, last time we had a surveyor in my former facility, they wanted to see the OR at the end of the case, what they did with the instruments, how they were transporting it, and all of that. So it was very important to them as surveyors as well.
Yeah, that's very interesting, Kevin, and thank you for the insight. I know when we're live, one of the things I like to do is ask for a surgical tech, a certified surgical tech, or someone who scrubs, or an OR nurse. And I say, you know, you mind if I ask you some questions? And it's usually, how are you trained? They tell you to wipe instruments off and so on and so forth. And he said, yes. I says, well, why isn't it happening all the time if everybody's been trained this way? I says, you're trained when they think of doing an open heart, you wipe down the Castro Viejo scissors and it's ready to give them back. And okay, so they're closing now and you don't have to wipe it, but you always have to make sure in case they have to open, the instruments are ready to go. Why do people forget about it? Is it OR time? Turn around. You got to, there's many reasons, but if you cut short on one step someplace, it gets moved to somebody else and it can be harder. And as you said, ARN has it, AST has it, AIMI has it, and
people, the IFUs have it.
The IFUs have it. It's all there. And I think also what I have seen is people get caught up also with their policy and how they write it. And we will get to an actual audit in a minute because we got to talk about that. You and I both have experiences writing audit sheets and that. But one of the things is, if your policy boxes you in a corner, it says something like this: all instruments should have bioburn removed at point of use and should be sprayed with an enzymatic detergent. That only says an enzymatic. It says nothing else. And what if it's an OBGYN or the ER? It's locking you into, it's difficult policy to implement across the system because the same process must be followed. No blood or tissue left on the instruments, no dry instruments. But if you maybe look at writing a policy, and if you look at ANSI AIMI ST79, it says you can incorporate multiple options so people have a choice that, you know, during the procedure, instruments should be wiped down and lumens flushed. Used instruments should be kept moist until they are cleaned. Moisture could be maintained by, and if you look at 79, it goes, place a towel moistened with water on instruments, or place items inside a package designed to maintain humidity, or use a spray or gel to keep it moist. Now you've given people options. So the surveyor, as long as they see one of those and it's being done properly, you've given people options. So if they've wiped them down properly and putting a moist towel over it, they now have options. You know what I mean? That's what I think people have to look at. Yeah. What's your feeling on that, Kevin?
No, those are great points because I think as managers of departments, we tend to try and want to streamline and standardize so much that everything just looks the same and whatever. And that's great. There's actually a lot of good reasons for doing so. However, just like the reasons you brought up for giving yourself some leeway and using all three of those options that are acceptable per ANSI AIMI ST79 is more flexible, and it's better for today's SPD because today's SPD is servicing people from OR, OB, clinics down the street, you know, different departments that are now being subject to the same auditing process regarding reusable medical devices that in the past, maybe there wasn't that much of a magnifying lens on them. So in how the things were transported and treated. So, you know, doing the spray may not be as practical in certain locations, or doing the towel may not be as effective as something else that you prefer for the operating room. Whatever it is, that flexibility that's given to us with three different options for keeping your instruments moist and keeping the biofilms from developing is a really good option to keep in mind when you develop your own policy. It's going to make it easier to comply with that policy.
Yeah, you're right. And not to get into the cleaning solutions, but not all of them are the same. Some say you have to spray on them every couple hours, and you said it. We have customers that have clinics that are a couple hours away that they're being transported. Got to have the right transportation system. And so putting it in a humid type bag might work for them, but those are all possible solutions. But part of this is also the focus on, and we've got about 5-6 minutes here, I think, is the importance of doing your own internal audit. And what that allows you to do is it also allows you, I think, to depersonalize and let the data speak for itself. Because, you know, when someone's told they're not following or doing it, sometimes people think you're picking on them. But if you can create an audit sheet, and maybe it's something specific, and I've used this when I've talked about damage of rigid scopes, that, you know, the distal end, we were having a lot of breakage, and people weren't putting them back in their right containers, and they're just throwing them in with regular instruments. You could make that part of a specific audit of how did it come back? Were they pre-moistened or wet or gross soil? Were the scopes put into the right tray? And if not, you can track that, and you can might find it's a certain room, a certain time. And now you get to work with them rather than painting the brush. You're all doing it wrong. Well, and then explain to them your costs have gone up, and you've designed some audit sheets where you were at. Was there anything specifically why you designed them, a problem you were trying to solve, or it was just general, Kevin?
No, like you said, it's common to have these issues. And like I mentioned, from my own experience, I know that I was a guilty one in terms of not sending the instruments down the correct way. And when I became manager of SPD, just speaking with my team, they indicated to me as well, you know, there's people who do a really good job at point of use care and they send them down in a great condition. And then there's a lot of people who don't. And so they described to me some obviously subpar practices. And I, you know, being from the OR, I knew that stuff was happening. So, but I was fortunate to learn about a case card audit process from an AORN educational program that I attended, which was great. And we made a simple paper form audit, you know, real simple, nothing fancy, of how we would like the case carts to come down. Like you said, rigid scopes and containers, you know, delicate instruments protected and, you know, instruments pre-treated, you know, excessive bioburden, no sharps, all that stuff. We put that on the form and we started collecting data, and we had a nice picture of what our current state was at that time. And we were able to share that data with the operating room with the support of the director and manager. And fortunately for us, you know, doing it that way and not making it a part of some sort of punishment program, it was more just a quality improvement program. They partnered with us right away, and they made a lot of significant changes and strides in point of use care in a very short amount of time. It was very effective. So,
yeah, and that's what it's about. It's about data collection, audit, and you can track it, and your staff gets involved. And you and I have been around a lot of so many different facilities. I know since you've been with us, COVID came, and now you're back out there. Some people have computer systems and they're not using them correctly, but to their full potential.
Sure.
Where I was all paper, you know, and now you can scan, and maybe your system doesn't have the ability, and maybe you can come up with something that works differently, but some of this can be scanned in and yes, no, and keep the data. But you also said this other part, you know, services are expanding and hospitals now are buying physician practices, and they weren't under scrutiny. So the things have to be transported correctly. Do you have the right containers? There's so many different things that managers have to think about, and you're now part of as systems expand, or even you could be a rural system and have doctor's offices, and is the humidity correct? How are you transporting it? And I think Amy's got something in the works on that, aren't they? Doing something soon about transporting or something out there, Kevin?
I believe they have a working group started to work on that very subject. So I don't know how soon or whenever they'll have any sort of materials for us, but we know, at least between the IFUs and what's existing, that there's work that can be done now, which is really important that we don't sit on it, because it is something that surveyors are looking at, and it's also something that's going to help your quality as an SPD. So this is something that should be really high up on our radar and priority list.
So, you know, trying to tie this up, you know, to develop an auto tool and some type of audit tool for return case carts or procedures or things that come into your decontam, whether it's through a transport service, get your customers involved. You know, it will help, I think, understand your process better. Let the data solve your concerns, work with the OR manager, SPD. We didn't even talk about endo. Some people are doing scopes and are they being returned proper? I mean, this can be whatever's returned to your department, but you've got to engage your customers and they've got to be part of the audit and why it's being used. Like you said, not punitively. You must communicate the expectations both with your staff, because sometimes staff, why am I collecting this stuff? Nobody tells me anything. You engage them and say, we're going to use this to try to improve and let's see where we go. And with any, you know, quality process, it's plan, do, check, act, or lean six, whatever you want to use. You got to sometimes revise it, go back through it, and then find products at work that are clinically relevant, evidence-based. And, you know, training's always going to go on, but I think it's a great way to engage people. But also, we know auditors are going into the OR. They're looking at it. They're looking at things coming back. It is an issue. And being ready for a surveyor to come in, this is something that could help you solve problems. I know I've sort of wrapped it up a little different and But, you know, we're getting on almost 18 minutes, I think, or whatever. And we try to keep them after 20, and I could just keep talking with you because I love talking with you, you know.
No, it's all good. Yeah, I feel the same way. And it's a subject that's really important. But, you know, if anybody out there listening, if you guys have questions or concerns about this subject matter, you need extra direction, please feel free to reach out to us. We would be more than happy to help you out. But this is something that needs to be addressed, and it should be audited on a continuous basis, because this is a practice that could really go south really quickly.
Yeah, it could. And I'll say this, you and I both, and our other educators, we all have samples of audit sheets that have worked at other places. Yep. People have shared with us, or we can help you develop one, ask you certain questions. So again, Kevin, another little thing, trying to get people ready and how they could do to improve. And thanks for bringing this one up, my friend. We'll be talking to you soon, I'm sure, on some other topics. Okay?
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Okay. We'll see you. Bye.
That wraps up our latest discussion in our survey readiness series of podcasts. Stephen Kovac and I were talking about case cart auditing. Accreditation surveyors have started in recent years to look at how instruments are pre-treated and transported to the sterile processing department. And so performing internal audits on this process is a very simple way to drive quality and to help in passing your next accreditation survey. So whether you're in need of more guidance to help you with that audit process, or maybe you're in need of a product to help you with soiled instrument preparation and transport, we would love to help you out. You can send any questions to our email address, asktheeducator@hmark.com. Thank you so much for listening. If you find the content of this podcast helpful, please remember to subscribe and to share it with others or your friends, whoever you know that might benefit from it. All opinions expressed on this show are those of the presenters. Before using any medical device, it is important to review the device manufacturer's instructions for use.